Side 2, continuing with 2.2.2, finding text. Write the word read, making sure to spell out each Braille letter. Do not use grade 2 Braille. Remember, the help file is not a Braille file. It comes from the factory written as a print file in uncontracted Braille. Now press an E chord to execute the find command. The Braille InSpeak says, reading functions. Notice that it found a variation of the word we were looking for, reading. The Braille InSpeak looks for the combination of characters we requested, but it finds the first text it encounters that may include that combination of characters we asked it to find. If you had really wanted to find read and only that specific word, you should have searched for the string space read space. For now, let's just use this example to find out whether there are more instances of the word read in this help file. Press an F chord again. Even though the Braille InSpeak says enter text to find again, it still remembers that we last looked for the word read. So let's just press an E chord. The Braille InSpeak says read current line, C chord. We could go along in this fashion, finding every occurrence of the word read or any variation of that word in the file, all without ever rewriting the word read at the prompt. In fact, even if we switched files, we could still look for the same word. Where are we in the file at this point? Assuming that we stopped searching for read when the Braille InSpeak found reading functions, press a WH sign chord. Braille InSpeak says something like column 13, cursor at 52, indicating that the cursor is at the 13th place on a line and that we are 52 characters into the help file. Now let's press an F chord. At the prompt, press a TH sign chord, dots 1, 4, 5, 6. The Braille InSpeak says not found reading functions. All this means is that it did not find any instance of the word read searching backward through the file. That's fine. We knew that it wouldn't find one. But see how important it can be to know where the cursor is. Try finding a word or phrase on your own. Move to different places in the help file as you search. Once comfortable with the process, you'll find that you can flip through a file and find a phone number faster than you can thumb through a Rolodex. 2.2.3, case-sensitive searches for text. The Braille InSpeak disregards case when searching for text unless you select it to be case-sensitive. To select case sensitivity in searching for text, before you issue the find command, press a THE sign chord, dots 2, 3, 4, 6. The Braille InSpeak prompts you with distinguish case during find, enter wire N. Write a letter Y if you do want searches to be case sensitive. Write a letter N if you don't. Most of the time, you won't want case sensitivity turned on for a search. Either way, the Braille InSpeak responds, OK. From that point on, until you change it, the Braille InSpeak performs searches according to your selection. Here's an example using our old friend the help file. Go to the top of the file with an L chord. Now press the THE sign chord, dots 2, 3, 4, 6. The Braille InSpeak says, distinguish case during find, enter YRN. Write a letter Y, and the Braille InSpeak says OK. Now press an F chord, and at the prompt, enter text to find, write Blazy, followed by an E chord. Narrator's note. Blazy is spelled B-L-A-Z-I-E. No capital letters of any kind. End of narrator's note. The Braille InSpeak responds, not found. Braille InSpeak help file. Or, not found, Braille InSpeak 640 help file. Either the word is not in the file, or Blazy is not in lowercase. Maybe lazy is written in capital letters. To make the Braille and Speak let you write uppercase letters, press a U chord. The Braille and Speak says uppercase. Press another U chord to lock the Braille and Speak into uppercase mode. The Braille and Speak now says uppercase locked. This is like a shift lock on a typewriter or a caps lock on a computer. Every letter you write on the Braille and Speak is now interpreted as an uppercase character. Press an F chord. Now answer the prompt, enter text to find, by writing lazy again, remembering that every character you're writing is assumed to be in uppercase. The Braille and Speak comes back with not found, Braille and Speak help file, or not found, Braille and Speak 640 help file. What's wrong now? It looks like blazy, in all capital letters, is not in the file either. It must be that the word is spelled with only the first letter in uppercase. Let's unlock our uppercase and try again. To unlock uppercase, press a Q chord. The Braille and Speak says, uppercase unlocked, okay. Now press an F chord, and at the Enter Find command prompt, press a U chord, then write blazy. Remember, since you only pressed the U chord once, only the first letter you wrote, the B, is assumed to be in uppercase. The lazy is assumed to be in lowercase. Now press an E chord to see if this time the Braille and Speak can find this elusive word. Yes, the Braille and Speak now says lazy engineering. Well, that took some effort, didn't it? See why it's probably better to have case sensitivity off? Let's turn it off right now, shall we? Press a THE sign chord. At the distinguished case during find, enter YRN prompt. Write an emphatic letter N. The Braille and Speak says, okay. From now on, it should be easy again to find text without worrying about its case. The click tip. When you have large files, you'll probably hear a ticking sound as the Braille and Speak is searching for text. The longer the file, the greater the distance the Braille and Speak may have to travel looking for your text, the greater number of clicks you will hear. But not to worry, just be patient and it will find your text, if it is there to be found. Canceling a search. Even after you've pressed the E chord that starts a search, you can cancel it with a Z chord. This can be handy with a long search in a large file. Section 2.3, Writing in Your Files. Before we can write anything in Braille and Speak, we must create a file in which to write. Or, in other words, open a blank page in our binder and give the file a name. And speaking of pages, let's talk for a minute about this. The Braille and Speak page. The Braille and Speak defines a file as having a predefined number of pages. In other words, it needs to know how many pages you want to use from the binder for each of your files. These pages each can hold up to 4,096 characters, something over four physical pages of Braille. The thing that is most important to understand here is that you need to define the number of pages you want to use in your file. The Braille and Speak Classic can hold 45 pages, and the 640 can hold over 150 of them. Remember, these are not physical Braille pages, nor are they physical print pages. They are the Braille and Speak's version of page. Later you'll see how easy it is to know how many physical Braille or physical print pages are really in your file. Also, even though you tell the Braille and Speak that you want, say, 3 pages in your file, you can change your mind later and add pages to your file or get rid of extra ones you don't need after all. The bottom line is that the pages are each 4,096 characters worth of space. Now let's create a file and start writing. To do this, we first have to get to the Options menu and its submenu, the Files menu. 2.3.1, the Files menu. Like any powerful computer, the Braille and Speak lets you manipulate your files. From the menu, you can open an existing file and work in it, create a new file, rename an existing file, delete an unwanted file, even make an existing file bigger or smaller. One of the best features of the Braille and Speak is that you never have to save a file. Any computer user knows how it feels to work diligently in a file, creating a masterpiece, only to have it disappear into that dreaded computer black hole. The Braille and Speak isn't like that. The instant you create a file and name it, that file is saved for you. And anything you enter into it is automatically saved, too. Yes, even when you turn the unit off. As we have mentioned earlier in this chapter, turning the Braille and Speak on and off does not affect your files in any way. It's like turning a radio off and turning it on again. Unless someone has come along and fiddled with the dial, you'll still be tuned to the same station when you turn it on again. 2.3.2, creating a file. Let's create a file. To get to the Files menu, press an O chord. The Braille and Speak says Option. Now write a letter F. The Braille and Speak responds Enter File Command. Notice that we didn't tell you to press an E chord yet. The Braille and Speak is now in menu mode, waiting for a command. Only after you issue a command can you press an E chord. Since our immediate goal is to create a file, let's write a letter C. The Braille and Speak prompts you for a name for your file with Enter File to Create. Let's call our file Practice. Write Practice, spelling out each letter, and press an E chord. The Braille and Speak now asks for the number of pages in your file with Enter File Size. Let's just write a number 1 for now. Remember to enter the number in ASCII or dropped number notation, .2, and press an E chord. Finally, the Braille and Speak asks whether you want Braille translation to be in effect for this file with Use Grade 2 Translator, Enter YRN. Let's write a letter Y. The Braille and Speak confirms that we have created the file by saying, Practice now open. We're in our file, a blank page, ready to be filled with our personal data. Notice that we didn't have to press an E chord after answering the prompt about Braille translation mode. Braille and Speak assumes that if you're creating a file, you want to open it and write in it immediately, so it opens the file for you. Before we write in this new file, let's talk for a moment about file naming conventions. File names in the Braille and Speak may be up to 20 characters in length. We suggest that you name files with no Grade 2 Braille contractions. You'll see why later. However, if you plan to send Braille and Speak files to a PC, modem, or our external disk drive, you must name your files using MS-DOS file naming conventions to prevent confusion for yourself later. Briefly, this means that your file names may consist of 2 parts, a file name portion of up to 8 characters in length, and an extension portion of up to 3 characters in length, separated by a period. For example, a file could be called address.txt or simply address. But it's not a good idea to call a file phone book, because the PC will only recognize phone boo. And you may think your file phone book never made it to the PC when you transmitted it. More on all this in Chapter 4 and Appendix A. For now, just be aware of the concept. Back in our newly created file, Practice, we're almost ready to write some text, but we still should check out some things first. Where is the cursor in our file? Press the WH sign cord. The Braille and Speak says, file is empty. And it should be. We haven't written anything yet. Try going to the top of the file, L chord, or end of the file, dots 4-5-6 chord. Try pressing a C chord to hear what's on the current line. The Braille and Speak should say, file is empty. We should also find out how much room there is in this file and how to get help if we get stuck. 2.3.3, room left in your file. To see how much room there is left to write in your currently open file, in other words, how much free space there is after the last character in a file, press an R chord. The Braille and Speak says, room left is 4,096. Good. That is the size of one Braille and Speak page, and since we haven't written anything yet, we should have 4,096 free spaces left to use. As you start to fill up the file, this number will decrease. Don't worry about running out of room, though. You can make the file bigger if we need more space. 2.3.4, Getting Help. You may have figured out by now that the help file is a brief listing of commands. It assumes that you know how to do things with the Braille and Speak, and only want a tickler, a reminder of the specific way to execute a command. It can be very handy and is accessible from any file in your Braille and Speak. Just need to jog your memory about a command? Press a TH sign chord, dots 1456, from within any file. By the way, the TH sign is a question mark in computer Braille. This may help you to remember that cording the TH sign means help. The Braille and Speak immediately jumps you into the help file and says, help now open. Check through the help file for what you need with the find command, say, and then press a Z chord to abort this procedure. You'll find yourself back where you were in your file. Try it out with your currently open file. Practice. 2.3.5, Writing Text in Your File. Now write the sentence, this is a practice file to learn how to write in the Braille and Speak. Don't worry if you make mistakes. We can fix them. Notice as you write that the Braille and Speak is saying every letter as you Braille it. And are you remembering to write in grade 2 Braille? Let's see where your cursor is now. Do a WH sign chord. The Braille and Speak should say column 56, cursor at 57. Assuming that you didn't make any mistakes and that you wrote in grade 2 Braille. We are at position 56 on the current line, and we are 57 characters from the beginning of the file. Don't worry if your numbers for column and cursor location differ from ours. Remember, this is only an example. What's important is that the column number is greater than 0. Keep that in mind. Now do another R chord and see how much room you have left in your file. The Braille and Speak should say something like, room left is 4,039. You'll have to write quite a bit before you run out of room, trust us. Remember, you're using up Braille and Speak space, not physical space on a piece of paper. That's what's so nice. it's going to be important to know how to format your files for printing. So let's take a brief look right now at how this is done before we write anything else. We'll take a more detailed look at physical page formatting in Chapter 4. 2.3.6, writing control characters into a file. In section 2.1.4, we said that control characters are special characters used for formatting your files for printing. Basically, these special characters are actually codes that instruct the printer about things like when to go to the next physical line on a page, when to go back to the left margin on a line, how many spaces to tab over, when to go to the next physical page, and so on. Some controlled code sequences get real fancy, and we won't discuss them here. We'll concentrate instead on the ones you use the most in writing. A more complete list is in Appendix D in the back of this manual. Before we review the commonly used control characters and show you how to write them, let's backtrack for a minute to review the concept of word processing in general. Back in the days when you typed on a typewriter or a braille writer, you were limited in many ways. You could never insert a word here, delete a paragraph there, change one word to another, copy text from one page to another, etc., without retyping. Word processing lets you do all that, true, but it also eliminates your having to worry about how many words fit on a line and where to hyphenate words, how many lines fit on a page, counting over spaces when writing in columns, setting margins, and so forth. One of the nicest features of word processing is this. The computer wraps words around lines for you, knows when to go to the next page, and even keeps track of the number of pages in a document. Let's take an example using the sentence we just wrote in our practice file. At last check, our cursor was at column 56, or the 56th position on the line. And remember that the Braille and Speak defines a line as containing everything between one carriage return and the next. But anyone who reads and writes Braille knows that the largest Braille page can only accommodate at most 40 characters on a line. When you print this file, the Braille and Speak knows how long to make each line because you will tell it with settings you control from the status menu. We'll show you more about that later. The point is that you don't have to know where you are on a line as you're going along writing text. No bell goes off when you've reached a certain point on a line to warn you to go to the next line. Nothing alerts you that you're at the bottom of a page and had better take this one out and start on a fresh page. So how do you start on a new page, even if you've only written a few lines on the current page? How do you move down a couple of lines and indent to start a new paragraph? That's where control characters come on the scene. When the computer takes care of wrapping text from line to line and going from page to page, it is said to be doing soft carriage returns and page breaks. When you actually write a control character to force such an action, it is said to be a hard carriage return or a hard page break. A carriage return takes you back to the first physical position or column on a line. In other words, the left margin. You write a hard carriage return on the Braille and Speak by pressing a DOTS 4-6 chord. Write a DOTS 4-6 chord now into your currently open file, Practice. The Braille and Speak says new line. Now do a WH sign chord. Notice that the Braille and Speak says column 0, cursor at 58. This is because a carriage return brings you back to the left margin of a line. In other words, your cursor is now positioned at the beginning of a line, waiting for you to enter text. A line feed by itself only moves you down one physical line, but does not reposition you at the left margin of the line. You don't need to write line feeds into the Braille and Speak at all, since the Braille and Speak has a way of appending them for you. This only becomes important when you're sending a Braille and Speak file to a printer or transmitting it to your computer. So we'll hold off on the discussion about how to append line feeds until we talk about transmitting files in Chapter 4. A tab on the Braille and Speak moves you a certain number of spaces to the right on a line. You determine how many spaces. To tab on the Braille and Speak, press a dots 4-5 chord. Try it now. The Braille and Speak says column. Write a 5, and remember to write in ASCII notation, a dropped E. Press an E chord to execute the command. Now press the WH sign chord. The Braille and Speak says column 4, cursor at 62. In other words, the Braille and Speak spaced over to the fifth position from the left margin and placed the cursor there for you to write something. Check this out by pressing dot 3 chords to move the cursor back a character at a time until you hear return, when the cursor lands on the carriage return we wrote before. Now write hello and press a dots 4-6 chord to issue another carriage return. But wait, don't we have to move the cursor forward to the end of the file, to where we had previously tabbed? No. The Braille and Speak protects you from overwriting text. No matter where you last read in your file, when you write something, the Braille and Speak jumps to the end of the file and appends to it. So the H of the word hello and carriage return we just wrote is automatically placed on the fifth position of the line, just where we had stopped when we tabbed before. A form feed, or hard page break control character, forces your printer to go to the next physical page. This means that if you decide that you want to start writing on a new physical page, not Braille and Speak page, you can write a control character so that when you print the file, text following the form feed character will be printed on the new physical page. To write a form feed, press an X chord. The Braille and Speak does not prompt you at this point. Now write a letter L. The Braille and Speak says, Control L. You have written a hard page break into your file. Now write, this is page 2, followed by a carriage return. By the way, you write most control characters in the Braille and Speak with an X chord followed by a letter. Carriage returns and tabs are so commonly used that a single key chord is provided for them. Later, when we talk about how to prepare a file for printing, we'll get into more specifics about page length, line length, and so on. All of those parameters and more can be adjusted as you need them on the fly. 2.3.7, selecting your writing mode. By this time you may be wondering how to write so that each character isn't spoken back to you as you braille. Let's show you a couple of options. You can have each word spoken as you complete brailing it, instead of hearing each character spoken as you braille it. Also, you can have the keys click as you braille, or you can have a totally silent keyboard as you braille. Get into the speech parameters menu with an AR sign chord. The Braille and Speak says, speech parameters, press the space bar. The Braille and Speak says, key click on, press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says, exit. Now try writing something in your file. You'll hear a short click each time you press a key, and the characters are no longer spoken as you braille. Enter the speech parameters menu and press the space bar. The Braille and Speak Now says silent keys. Exit the speech parameters menu and write something in your file. Notice that the Braille and Speak is totally silent as you write. While having a totally silent keyboard as you write may be great in a meeting, you may want some feedback about what you're writing. Of course, you could always read what you have written in the usual manner, with current line or sentence commands and so on, but you might find it convenient to hear words spoken as you braille them into your file. Press a G chord from anywhere in your file. The Braille and Speak says, interactive, okay. Try writing something. Words are now spoken as you braille. You can turn this feature off again simply by issuing another G chord. The Braille and Speak says, off, okay. Try writing something in both modes to find the one that is most comfortable for you. Earlier we said that no bell goes off to tell you that you're at the end of a line when you're writing in the Braille and Speak. While this is true when you take the machine out of the box for the first time, you can change this setting. Get into the status menu with an ST sign chord and write a Q. The Braille and Speak prompts beep at column 0. You can change this setting to the position on the line where you want to be alerted as you write. Remember to use dropped numbers. Enter the change with an E chord. The Braille and Speak repeats your change to you. Exit the status menu with another E chord. From then on, as you write, you'll hear a distinct plink as you pass over that position on a line. Finally, you may be more interested in tracking what you're reading than what you're writing in a file. For example, if you have a set of notes in the Braille and Speak to which you're responding, you might want to write your comments at the end of the file, but not lose your place as you're reading the notes. In such a scenario, you want the cursor not to track what you are writing. Turn cursor tracking off from either the status menu or the parameters menu. Enter the status menu with an ST sign chord and write a C. You hear cursor tracking on. Respond with an N and exit the status menu with an E chord. From now on, what you write is appended to the end of your file, as always, but you'll be able to continue reading elsewhere in the file. Turn cursor tracking back on by re-entering the status menu and responding with a Y to the prompt, or simply enter the parameters menu with a P chord and write a C. At the prompt, cursor tracking, enter Y or N, write a Y. The Braille and Speak confirms, okay, to once again track what you are writing. Practice writing. Don't worry about Braille mistakes for now. We can fix them, as you'll see in the next section. Section 2.4, Editing Text. Like any good word processor, the Braille and Speak lets you revise what you have written. You can overwrite text already written, insert new text in between existing groups of text, even delete text you no longer want. The Braille and Speak takes care of moving text aside to make room for new text you're inserting, and it squeezes things back together again should you decide to get rid of some text. And, as we alluded to earlier, it takes care of reformatting your pages so that the layout of your text still looks fine when you print. First, let's try overwriting some text. 2.4.1, overwriting a character. When you're writing in the Braille and Speak, you are always appending text to the end of the file, unless you specifically invoke the insert or overwrite commands. The Braille and Speak lets you overwrite only one character at a time. To do this, you need to move your cursor onto a character that you want to overwrite. Write a couple of carriage returns to separate this practice section from your previous one. Then write the words, "Today is warm," remembering to write in grade 2 Braille. Now move your cursor back to the second character of the word "today." The best way is probably to move back a word at a time with dot 2 chords until the Braille and Speak says the word "it." Press a dot 3/6 chord to see what character you're on. It should be on the X that represents the word "it" in grade 2 Braille. Now press a dot 3 chord twice to position your cursor on the D of "today," which in grade 2 Braille represents the word "today." Narrator's note: in grade 2 Braille, a TD represents the word "today" and a TN represents the word "tonight." End of narrator's note. We're going to change the TD to TN by overwriting the D with an N. Press an OW sign chord, dots 2/4/6. The Braille and Speak says, "Overwrite." Write the letter N. That's all. Now read the current word with a dots 2/5 chord. The Braille and Speak should say, "Tonight." In Chapter 3, we'll show you how to overwrite more than one character at a time using a macro. But for now, when you wish to overwrite a character, stick to the procedure just described. 2.4.2, backspacing and rubbing out a character. Now write the word "file." Recall that the Braille and Speak takes you forward to the end of the file, and what you write gets appended to the last character in your file. So in the present example, since the last word we had written was "warm," period, this means that we've now added the word "file" right after the period of the previous sentence. That won't do at all. We could simply delete this last word, "file," couldn't we? Well, not the way it is now, we couldn't. It's attached to the previous word. The Braille and Speak isn't smart enough to know that "warm.file" is two words separated by a period. That's a mistake. We'd better delete this word, "file," by backspacing over each character and deleting it as we backspace. To do this, make sure that you're at the end of the file with a dots 4/5/6 chord. Then press a B chord. Braille and Speak does not say anything, but check out what the current character is with a dots 3/6 chord. Braille and Speak should say "L." That means that it backspaced over and erased the E in "file," and the cursor is now on the L. Press three more B chords, and then a dots 3/6 chord. The Braille and Speak should now say "low D." That, of course, is the grade 2 Braille sign for period. Try backspacing over a few more characters, putting some back and backspacing over them again, maybe even overwriting some of them. Our next challenge is deleting text. So let's move along. 2.4.3, deleting text. You can delete blocks of text regardless of where the text may be located. Braille and Speak lets you delete one or more chunks of text at a time. You can throw away characters, words, lines or sentences, and paragraphs. You can even delete from the current cursor location to the end of the file, or empty out the file completely by deleting its entire contents. Careful with that. The text you delete from your file goes into a temporary trash can, the clipboard file we talked about earlier, remember? But that trash can is always being emptied out. So you may not always be able to retrieve something from it if you change your mind. We'll talk about how to recover data in general in Appendix A, Troubleshooting. Right now, let's look at how to delete text within our currently open file, Practice. Since deleting text can be a tricky business, Braille and Speak makes you work a little when you want to delete something. To delete text, you must first move your cursor onto the text you want to delete. You don't have to be at the beginning of the text you want to delete, but you do need to be very clear about how much text you want to delete. You then need to enter the Delete Parameters menu. Let's start by moving to the top of our file with an L chord. Now read the current line with a C chord. It should say, this is a practice file to learn how to write in the Braille and Speak. Find out where the cursor is with a WH sign chord. The Braille and Speak should say, column 0, cursor at 1. Now enter the Delete Parameters menu with a D chord. The Braille and Speak says, enter delete parameter. Let's write a C for character. In other words, we're telling the Braille and Speak that we want to delete a character, not a word, not a sentence, a character. When we write C, the Braille and Speak says character. It's now waiting for us to tell it how many characters we want to delete. If we only want to get rid of one character, the one currently under the cursor, which happens to be the dot 6 that capitalizes the word this in our text, all we have to do at this point is press an E chord. The Braille and Speak will assume that we meant to delete only the one character under the cursor. Try that now. Press an E chord. Press a dot 3-6 chord to read the character under the cursor. The Braille and Speak says TH. That means that it worked. We deleted the dot 6, capitalizing the word this. Now let's suppose we want to delete a few words. We want to get rid of the words, this is a. So let's re-enter the Delete Parameters menu with a D chord, and at the prompt, enter Delete Parameter, let's write a W. This time, however, when the Braille and Speak says word, let's write a 3. Remember to write an ASCII 3, a dropped C, and press an E chord. Now do a dots 3-6 chord to see what character the cursor is on. The Braille and Speak says P. Press a dots 2-5 chord to read the current word. The cursor is on the P of the word practice. To delete lines at the prompt, enter delete parameter, write an L. To delete sentences, write an S. To delete paragraphs, write a P. And remember that the Braille and Speak thinks of a paragraph as all text between two or more carriage returns. All of these parameters work the same way as outlined above in the examples of deleting a character and deleting words. In summary, to delete a single chunk of text, you place your cursor somewhere within the text you want to delete. Enter the Delete Parameters menu with a D chord. Write the appropriate parameter for character, word, line, sentence, or paragraph, and press an E chord. To delete groups of characters, words, lines, sentences, and paragraphs, you need to follow the parameter letter designation with a number, and then press an E chord. Incidentally, when deleting sentences, you don't have to be in read-by-sentence mode. However, when you delete lines, it's a good idea to be in read-by-lines mode to be on the safe side. Oops, we changed our mind and don't want to delete anything after all. Or we want to delete something but realize that we haven't placed the cursor on the text we want to delete. And we've already pressed the D chord. The easiest way to abort a delete command is to press a Z chord from wherever you are in the deleting process. Of course, once you've pressed an E chord, it's too late. The Braille and Speak has executed your delete command. As mentioned earlier, you might be able to recover from such a mistake if you move fast. But we won't complicate matters here with that procedure. Just know that you might be able to retrieve text out of the trash can if you haven't closed the lid yet, so to speak. Pressing the E chord has that effect. What if we want to delete everything from the current cursor location to the end of the file? Or let's say that we want to wipe out the contents of this file, sort of like erasing a blackboard. Understand that we're not talking about deleting the file itself here, just its contents, or everything from a certain point in the file to the end of the file. To delete all text from the current cursor position forward, wherever you are in your file, enter the Delete Parameters menu in the usual way with the D chord. Let's go through an example. Get to the physical page 2 that we created a little while ago. We'll erase everything that's on that page. First, get to the top of the file with an L chord so that we're all starting from the same place. Find the hard page break control character. Remember how to use the find command and how to write control characters? Press an F chord. At the prompt, enter text to find, press an X chord, followed by an L. The Braille and Speak says control L. Then press an E chord. The Braille and Speak should say, this is page 2. Yes, that's what we had written after that control L. Good. Let's get rid of the junk that we wrote for practice on page 2. Check what's under the cursor first, though. Press a current character chord. The Braille and Speak says, control L. Do we want to get rid of the form feed character? No. We still want to have a physical page 2. We just want to get rid of all of the text on it. So let's move a character to the right with a .6 chord. Now we should be on the .6 of the first word after the control character. Enter the Delete Parameters menu with a D chord. When the Braille and Speak says, enter delete parameter, write a Z. When the Braille and Speak says, all, press an E chord. Now the Braille and Speak says, okay, where's the cursor? Check it out with a .36 chord. It should be on the control L. We suggest that you practice deleting text for a bit. Write some junk text into this practice file. Then move your cursor to various places within the file and delete different portions of text. Write a couple of sentences and get into read by sentence mode. Then delete a sentence. Try deleting the entire contents of the file too. After all, this is only a practice file. You can't lose any really important data here. Next, we're going to look at inserting text. So we'll assume that you're starting with a blank practice file again. Remember, to delete all the text in your file, simply move the cursor back to the beginning of the file and use a Z parameter in the Delete Parameters menu. Now let's check out how to insert text into your file. 2.4.4, inserting text. As we have pointed out, when you write in your file, text is appended to the end of the file unless you specifically issue a command to overwrite existing text or to insert text prior to the end of the file. You can insert up to 255 characters at one time anywhere in your currently open file. When you issue the insert command, you enter the insert buffer, a scratch pad of sorts. Text is not actually entered into your file until you press an E chord. If you decide to cancel the insertion, you can press a Z chord at any time, and no text is inserted into your file. While in the scratch pad, you can use the backspace, B chord, to erase characters, just as you can when you're writing. And you can see what you've written thus far by pressing a C chord. Let's go through an example. First, let's write a sentence in our empty file practice. Make sure that you're at the top of the file with an L chord and that it is empty with a C chord. If the file is empty, when you press a C chord, you will hear, "File is empty." Write, "This is a practice session on how to insert text into a file." Let's add the word "learning" before the word "how" to make the sentence read better. Move your cursor back to the word "how" by pressing .2 chords until the Braille and Speak says "how." Press a .36 chord to see where the cursor is. It should be on the H of "how." Now press an I chord. The Braille and Speak says "insert mode active." Write the word "learning" followed by a space. Then press an E chord to let the Braille and Speak insert the text. The Braille and Speak says OK. Now check where your cursor is. It should be on the space, the last character you inserted. Read the entire sentence with a C chord. It now says, "This is a practice session on learning how to insert text into a file." Later you'll see how easy it is to insert calculation results or calendar information into your file without retyping it. We'll discuss those more sophisticated features in their respective sections in Chapter 3. Practice writing text and inserting things within it, deleting text, etc. Get comfortable with these word processing basics before you move on to the next section on cutting and pasting text. 2.4.5, copying text into your file. The clipboard is not only a trash can for text you've thrown away. It can also be a temporary storage area for text you want to copy from one place to another in your file, or text you want to move from one place to another in your file, or even text you want to copy or move between files. For now, we'll look at copying and moving text within our currently open file practice. When you're going to copy or move a chunk of text, you must first mark one end of it. Then you can work with the block of text preceding or following the mark. Start out with a clean slate. Empty your file of any practice data you have in it and write the sentence, "This is a practice session on learning how to copy text into a file." Follow this sentence with two carriage returns to prepare us for a new paragraph. Now let's copy the text. "This is a practice session," including the space after the word "session." We'll put it after the two carriage returns. To do this, find the beginning of the text we want to copy. In this case, it's easy. Simply go to the top of the file with an L chord. To mark the beginning of the text, press an M chord. The Braille and Speak says, "Marked, OK." Now move your cursor forward with .5 chords until you're on the word "on." Essentially, what we're doing is marking the beginning of the text we want to work with and marking its end by placing the cursor where we want to stop. To copy this marked text into the clipboard, press a GH sign chord, dots 1, 2, 6. Braille and Speak says, "Copied." If we went to the file called clipboard now, we'd see that our marked text, "This is a practice session," ending with a space, is stored there. Let's copy this marked text. By the way, notice that the text is not removed from your file. If you press a C chord, you will hear, "This is a practice session on learning how to copy text into a file." Press a dots 456 chord to get to the end of the file. Then press the ING sign chord, dots 3, 4, 6. Here we have some differences between the 640 and the classic. The 640 says, paste what? While the classic simply says, OK, and copies the text from the clipboard into your file. This is because in the 640 you can choose to paste other information than that stored in the clipboard. If you're using the 640, you must respond to the prompt, paste what, in this case with a C for clipboard. If interactive mode is on, the 640 says, this is a practice session, OK. If interactive mode is off, it just says, clipboard, OK. Where is the cursor? With a dots 3-6 chord, you'll see that the cursor is on the dot 6 of the word this. But wait a minute. Didn't we say earlier that the Braille and Speak always appends text to the end of the file? Why did we have to do a dots 4-5-6 chord to get to the end of the file before copying the text from the clipboard? Let's find out. Go back to the top of the file with an L chord. Press an ING sign chord. And if using a 640, write a C. Now read the current line. We think you'll hear, this is a practice session. This is a practice session on learning how to copy text into a file. What happened? The Braille and Speak inserted the text where your cursor was, not at the end of the file. Text gets appended to the end of the file only when you are writing it, not when you're copying it. What a mess we have. Let's get rid of this extra garbage before we get thoroughly mixed up. 2.4.6, deleting marked text from a file. Just as we mark text for copying, we can mark it for deletion and work with the block of text preceding or following the mark. Get to the top of the file with an L chord and press an M chord. The Braille and Speak says, marked, OK. Now move the cursor to the second occurrence of the word this. Enter the Delete Parameters menu with a D chord. At the prompt, enter delete parameter, write an M. The Braille and Speak confirms, mark. Enter an E chord. The Braille and Speak says, OK. Now read the current line. You'll hear, this is a practice session on learning how to copy text into a file. Phew, that extra text is gone. We suggest that you practice with the concepts of copying text from one place to another and deleting marked text from your file. In the next section, you'll discover how to manipulate files themselves. But before you tackle that, get real comfortable with all of the concepts discussed so far in this chapter. We've covered a lot of ground. Section 2.5, Manipulating Files. As you've seen, the Braille and Speak lets you create files to enter your personal data. Soon, you'll have many files in your Braille and Speak and will need to do things like rename them, change their size, and simply open them to read and write in them. You might want to look at a list of your files, delete ones you no longer need, and create new ones. All of these options are handled through the Files menu. Let's use our currently open practice file as a starting point to explore the Files menu. What's the name of the currently open file? When we turn the Braille and Speak on, we hear Braille and Speak ready, file name is open. Recall that the Braille and Speak remembers what file you were in and where your cursor was within that file the last time you turned it off. So when you turn the Braille and Speak on again, the announcement of the name of the currently open file is very helpful. But what if you're working in a file and get interrupted by a long phone call? Or if you can't remember what file you were working in before lunch and you forgot to turn the Braille and Speak off? Hopefully you weren't running on battery. wasting valuable battery time. But regardless of the circumstances, you want to find out the name of the currently open file. You could press a Z chord, normally used to abort commands, from anywhere within the currently open file to hear its name, size, and whether Braille translation is on for this file. But since we're concentrating on the files menu options in this section, let's see how to find out its name from there. Enter the files menu. Remember how we did this before to create our practice file? First, enter the options menu with an O chord, and the Braille and Speak says option. Then write an F, and the Braille and Speak says enter file command. Write a T, and we hear practice. One page, Braille file is open. Enter file command. This tells us that the currently open file where we can read and write data is our practice file, that it is one Braille and Speak page in size, and that it is a Braille or grade 2 file. In other words, the Braille and Speak is reminding us that Braille translation is on. Finally, the Braille and Speak is providing us with a files menu prompt again. Enter file command. To get back into our file, wherever we left off, all we have to do is exit the files menu with a letter E. Notice that you don't have to press an E chord, just an E. Exit is one of the choices on the files menu. Anytime you want to exit the files menu to return to your currently open file, simply write an E, and the Braille and Speak says exit. By the way, pressing an E chord or a Z chord also exits the files menu. Right now, you should have very few files in your Braille and Speak. Some from the factory and the practice file we have created. But as we keep stressing, it won't be long before you have many files in your Braille and Speak. So let's see how to get a listing of the files you have and how to move from file to file. 2.5.1, getting a list of existing files. Note, in both models of the Braille and Speak, you can check out your existing list of files from the files menu by writing the letter L. But in the 640, you can also get a quick list, just the file names, by writing a Q or a verbose list with all relevant file information about each file spoken by writing a V from the files menu. We'll emphasize the letter L option here since both models provide that command. End of side 2.